today, and it was suffering. And I was like, yes, yay for me. But I want to just take a moment just for our kids, because I know normally we have our kids come up, but I'm not going to have them come up. But I'm going to do something where I know that I have you for about a minute. So let's really focus. Let me just kind of explain some things for you. Have you ever felt sad or hurt? Maybe someone was mean to you, or you get sick and you were scared at night. That's called suffering, when things are really hard and painful. A long time ago, when people didn't listen to God, I just want to explain to you, Adam and Eve didn't listen to God, and the world became broken. That's why sometimes bad things happen, kids. But even when bad things happen, I want to let you know today, God didn't leave you. God sent his son to come and help all of us. Jesus knows what it's like to hurt because he had hard times too. And he wants to help you. So, what should we do with this, kids? When things happen, instead of being scared or upset and all alone, we can remember Jesus. And I want you to remember that today. As soon you will return back to school, and there will be times that you might be scared. Mom and dad aren't there. Pray and talk to Jesus. That's what I want you to get out of today's sermon, kids. Just a short little response. Because today's title is The Gospel Hope in Suffering. I'm going to start with a question that the world always has, especially in the middle of pain. And this is a short clip, a raw clip, unfiltered, real. Listen carefully to what Joe Rogan says.
Why did God create war? Why does God create murder? Why does God create all the horrific things we see in the news, school shootings? Why would God create a mind that acts in that way?
Well, I think,
why would God create pain? Why did God create suffering? Why would God create war? Why does God have all this in the world? And we went through this a little bit before we can give the Christian answer, like most of us have it. The world doesn't necessarily always want to hear that, hey, we broke the world, there's evil in it. I'm going to be honest, when people go through pain, this is why this is hard. Suffering is not easy, and I'm not changing the dynamic of it. Some people don't want to hear that. Our Jewish counterparts, the rabbis, their response is, if Jesus was the Messiah, then why is there suffering? Why is there war? That's their response. So the world is not asking like an odd question. And we can give it. The world is broken. Sin fractured everything, relationships, bodies, creation, and even how we view God is broken. Romans 3:10 says, there is no one righteous, not even one. So suffering we see today is not because God is distant, but because humanity chose to rebel. We broke the world, and it groans under the weight of our sin. So what do we do with suffering as believers? Peter tells us to suffer for Christ is not strange, but we act like it's somehow strange. Peter says it's sacred. Our suffering is sacred. And so these words that I'm about to read from 1 Peter, they're going to challenge us. Because I don't want to suffer. I'm going to be honest, I don't like suffering. I complain just like anybody else. But I want you to know that God has a different plan for us. If you'll stand with me, we'll read from 1 Peter 4:12 through 19 in honor of God's word. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trials when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet, anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God in that name. For it is the time for judgment. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is sacred, scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let us suffer according to God. God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing so. You may be seated. It's always hard for me, because as I deal with this and I think about suffering, I'm in America. Let's just be honest. My suffering isn't like the Christians in other countries where having the Bible gets you arrested. I have the Bible here. I take it to school, public schools. I open my Bible. I read it. I can do that. Even in public schools. A lot of times as Americans, we just sometimes think suffering. I have to pay some extra bills. My suffering, I think we get lost sometimes when we don't look at the suffering that other Christians get into. And I don't want to take away from what we call the American idea of suffering. These are real challenges that we all face. But we must be honest that we are mild compared to the suffering and sacrifice by Christians today in like Iran, North Korea, Nigeria. And so I just wanted to take a moment, just because whenever I look at suffering, I always do this. I always go, well, I'm an American, I'm not suffering. Right? But I want to just take a moment for you to understand that your suffering is still suffering for the name of Christ. When we suffer for the name of Christ, when we're trying to glorify God, it is suffering, no matter where it is. And so I want to take us to my first point: expect the fire. Suffering is not strange, verses 12 through 13. I'm going to read it again. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trials when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Suffering, this is one of the hardest things that I wrestled with today, is suffering is part of God's plan. I'm sorry. Those that are suffering right now, my heart goes with you, but suffering is part of God's plan. And we can see that throughout Scripture. I see it again and again. One of the earliest stories with Job, suffering was part of God's plan. Job was the most good guy in the earth, right? Hadn't done anything wrong, but suffering was part of God's plan to bring him closer to the Lord. Peter also draws imagery here, specifically from Daniel 3, Meshach and Abednego in the fiery furnace. We all know the story, Meshach and Abednego, and there's Nebuchadnezzar, and he's made all these rules to worship himself. And they say, we're not going to do it. We're only going to worship the Lord. And so some people are like, well, we don't like them doing that. So we're going to tell Nebuchadnezzar. And then Nebuchadnezzar is going to get all upset, and that's what happened. Jealousy, right? A little bit of jealousy. They were given some power and control. So then Nebuchadnezzar's like, hey, I'm going to teach you guys a lesson. I turn on the fiery furnace and I throw you in the fire. And they've even written a current worship song that we've all heard on the radio. There's another one in the fire, right? Jesus was in the fire. Whoever you want to say is in the fire with you. The Lord is with you. And I think that that's something that God is trying to tell us. Whether it's strange for you to understand, you are not alone. Trials don't destroy faith. They reveal and refine. And we get that even from 1 Peter before, and they've preached on it, verses 6 through 7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes through though it is tested by fire. So you're going to get tested by fire. There's trials. James talks about this, the book right before this, in James 1, right before 1 Peter, James 1, 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So, again, the trials, the testings, the suffering sometimes that we go through is not meant to destroy you and destroy your faith. It's meant to reveal and refine. Rejoice in the union with Christ's suffering, because Christ did it first. Rejoice insofar, in Philippians 3:10, it says, rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings. Suffering for Jesus is a sign of a relationship with him, not rejection. And I think that we need to hear that again. Suffering is a sign of relationship, not rejection. There is another example of someone in the Old Testament that suffered. His name is Joseph. We know this story too, but I'm going to kind of go through it. Joseph's this little brother, and all the older brothers are like kind of annoyed because they understand that I was the little brother, so I knew that like I could say something and just to make my older brother mad. But he was like, hey, you're all going to worship me, right? And they're like, what are you talking about? Bow down before you. You're crazy. And even the dad's like, calm down, Joseph. Like, you're going to make him mad. And so they betray him. They sell him into slavery. He has a relationship with God. It doesn't change it. So he still works for God. And even at that moment, a woman tries to come up and seduce him. And yet again, he doesn't change his relationship with God. He runs from it. But then they arrest him, throw him in prison. There's a good time for Joseph, right? But he doesn't change his relationship with God, even in prison. And he's blessed in prison. And then in prison, he helps out somebody. They get out of prison, and that person forgets about him. For years. I'm telling you, I seriously doubt it was a good time in prison in Egypt at that time. Whether you had a job to do or not. But Joseph didn't lose his relationship with God in that suffering. He became closer. Jesus faced the ultimate trials, God's wrath being poured out for us. Because he suffered redemptively, our suffering is never wasted because of Jesus. Not because of you. Because all this turns back to God, all of this turns us back to God and glorifying God, looking to Jesus, knowing that we're not alone. So it leads us to my second point, blessed in reproach. Suffering brings the Spirit of glory. So it brings that presence of God, the Spirit of God to be with us in verse 14. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Bearing Christ's name brings blessing. Jesus even talks about it in Matthew 5, in the Beatitudes. Blessed are those when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is greater in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Again, suffering from the first point is something that is not new. It's expected. The Spirit draws near. In Isaiah 11:2, the Spirit rests on Christ and now rests on you. Some of the deepest intimacy with God happens through affliction, through suffering. And this is always the hardest part for me, is to tell you, hey, suffering, it's going to bring you closer to God. No one wants to hear that when they're going through it. But I'm going to tell you from experience, my deepest intimacy with the Lord has come through deserts. My deepest intimacy with the Lord has come through suffering. And because Christ was cured for us, we are blessed when we suffer for Him. The Spirit rests on you. Not in strength, but in your weakness. See, like when we're suffering, we're not at our best. We're struggling. Sometimes our emotions get the best of us when we're suffering. But I'm telling you, again, because of Christ, He strengthens you. He is the strength in your weakness. Point three today is God, glorify God in suffering, not in sin. Verses 15 through 16, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or thief or evildoer, as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him be glorified. Let him glorify God in that name. Let none of you suffer as a murderer and a thief. Not all suffering is godly. Sometimes not all suffering is godly. Some trials are consequences of sin, and we must distinguish between the two. Not all suffering is godly. Just to give you some type of example that relates with myself, sometimes we might, and I'm not saying that it's happened to me, but let's say you're driving 20 miles over the speed limit, you're late to work. There's a lot to do. There's no one else out on the road. You've woken up and before most people get up in the morning. You're flying through neighborhoods, but a cop notices you, pulls you over, gives you a ticket, and you're upset and you're angry. You're very upset and angry. My mind's just like, how angry I would be. I was like, I'm not affecting anyone. This is not hurting anyone by me doing this. Let me get to work on time. But there's a difference because I did break the law. There are consequences. And I think we live lives where it can be different, where we think that, hey, I wasn't hurting anyone, so that means that it must still be good. No. If there's a law to be broken with our God, there is none perfect, not one. Here's some godly consequences. Let's say at work, you work for a bank. I've worked for banks, and they've asked sometimes the most evil things to do in the world that I felt like. I'll be honest. I didn't stay very long after that because I wouldn't do it. There's consequences for me not doing what they wanted, but the God is glorified in you choosing not to do that. You're suffering for Jesus' name. You want to reflect the character of God. Suffer for Christ without shame. Christians were once an insult, especially in 1 Peter here. To be called Christian was an insult, but Peter's reclaiming it as an honor. We are honored because we are Christ-like. Glorify God by enduring with hope and humility. Again, suffering is not going to stop, but it glorifies God with our hope and humility. Jesus bore shame. They put a crown of thorns on him. They stripped him. So we should never be ashamed after the Father. Every time we are mocked for following him, we bear his name with honor. We always have to turn this back to Christ because that's the focus. To glorify God, that is what we are looking at. For judgment begins with God's people, verses 17 through 18. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Suffer refines the church, people. Suffering refines the church. In Micah 3, 2 through 3, God is the refining fire. I know that many of you know that scripture where he's talking about to Israel at the time. I'm going to refine you. Refining fire is not necessarily a good feeling, but it matures us and it builds us up. And I can't help but think of a better little example of refining fire than maybe a piano like this. And I'm going to tell you about the suffering that this tree went through. See, it was a beautiful tree standing in a forest, blowing in the wind, is all happy, the leaves are going. Let's say there was good rain that year. Wow, it was great. Someone came along and slowly cut it down. That didn't feel too good, but that wasn't the end for this tree. It's stripped of its bark, of its branches, ripped off. It's slowly cut over and over again through the middle, everywhere, into little pieces. Darkness is all it sees at this point. It's being cut up. The next thing it feels is staining it, burning its skin to a different color. It says it has no more future. It has no more hope. Its suffering has been too great. But then one day, the lights come on and it's on a stage. And the master comes and begins to play, glorifying himself, our master. Glorifying himself in playing the beautiful instrument that your suffering has made. When we get to heaven, we're going to be beautiful instruments played by the master, glorifying him with beautiful music. But I know that suffering is part of it. Suffering matures and purifies us as sons and daughters in Hebrews 12, 6 through 11. You can't forget about what Scripture says. I can give all the little neat little metaphors, but let's go to Scripture. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and cherishes every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as his sons. For what son is there whom the Father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of the Spirit of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. I like the piano one because it makes me it makes me feel good. But discipline, kids, doesn't feel very good. I know that the kids are still in here and probably lost them about 3 points ago. But discipline isn't fun. Suffering isn't fun. But I want to let you know that it's part of the deal. It's part of God's plan. Greater judgment for those without Christ. If the saved experience hardship, what awaits those that reject this grace? We get this right here in 1 Peter. What happens to those who reject this great grace? If the righteousness is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So we have a job to do, even in our suffering, because we know our suffering will someday end. God's judgment for believers is restorative, not punitive. Because Christ bore our punishment, God isn't crushing us, he's cleansing us. He's not crushing you, he's cleansing you. And that's a hard word to hear when we're going through a hard time and we're suffering. Verse 19, this is my final point. Entrust your soul to the faithful Creator. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to the faithful Creator while doing so. Suffering is not random. It's according to God's will. Not a cosmic accident, as science would like to say, but a divine design. Trust the Creator and keep doing good. He made you. He sees you. He will not forsake you. Keep pressing on in the gospel faithfulness. You probably wouldn't want me to say it, but like this morning talking to Steve McNeil, when we get to heaven, we don't want to come back. Everything's restored. So suffering and long suffering, it's just part of the plan. It's part of the design, and to make us more faithful to a God that has already been faithful through all of it in Jesus Christ. Like Jesus Christ says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He is not your creator. He is your faithful end. He's not just your creator. He is your faithful end. So after a hard, hard sermon like this, there's a couple things I want to go over. And first is a picture. I'm going to show you a picture, a painting. If we can get it up there. It's blooping in and out. The painting is called Checkmate. in the little flashes. It's a man distraught. He's playing chess against the devil. And a lot of times in our lives, we move pieces and we just keep losing more pieces. We're suffering in the game, right? And it says checkmate on it because the devil's laughing and the man is defeated, distraught. He has no way of winning. He is suffering the game of chess. There it is. He's suffering the game of chess. And what I found out later on through this story is a great chess master was looking at the painting one time and he was just staring at it and staring at it. He's a grandmaster. And then the people left and then they came back and he said, hey, curator, like, this painting has the wrong name. Because the king still has a move. And I say that today in your suffering, that the king still has the last move. One day, he will take it all away. In the gospel of Jesus Christ, death does not get the last word. Time does not get the last word. Cancer does not get the last word. Blindness does not get the last word. Our mistakes don't get the last word. Christ gets the last word. The devil has been defeated. The grave has been robbed. And one day he will return and make all things new. Suffering for Christ is not strange, but sacred, revealing God's refining love. Confirming our union with Christ and inviting us to entrust ourselves fully to our faithful Creator. When I see this picture, I would be distraught too. Lost a lot of good characters. And I haven't taken many in this picture. I'm frustrated. So many times in our lives, we're trying to take control of the chessboard, but our king has already done it. Let go, let go, let go. And trust your creator. That's why at the end of this, in 1 Peter, he says, put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus Christ, because that's all we have left, folks. And let the suffering refine you to a closer relationship with him. As some of the musicians come forward, I want to read a song. It's just a song that kind of touched my heart. I'm going to read some lyrics. I like to always read some lyrics. I believe it's by Casting Crowns. Oh, my soul, oh, how you are weary. Oh, how you are weary from fearing. You've lost control. This is the one thing you didn't see coming, whatever that suffering may be. And no one would blame you, though, if you cried in private, if you tried to hide it away, so no one would know. No one will see you if you stop believing. Oh, my soul, you are not alone. There's a place where your fear has to face the God you know. One more day, he will make a way. Let him show you how you can lay it this down, because you're not alone. See, so many times in our suffering, we feel alone. I'm telling you, you are not alone. Let that suffering face the fear of the king and his last move. Here now, you can be honest. I won't try to promise that someday it all works out, because this is the valley, and even now, he's breathing on your dry bones, and there will be dancing. There's been a loss of brothers and sisters, and they'll be dancing. They'll be dancing in heaven. There will be beauty where beauty was ashes and stone. This much I know because of Jesus Christ. Oh, my soul, I am not alone today in my suffering. I went through a lot today. But if you're suffering today and you just don't want to feel alone, we will have pastors up front, some people on the sides, that if you want to pray, you want us to pray with you, you want to pray for healing, let's pray for healing. But you are not alone. And that's what the body of Christ is for. If you need prayer for each other, if you're going through struggles, I'm going to tell you today, you are not alone. And we are ready to love you and care for you. So let us stand, and I'm going to pray real quick, and then we'll sing. But if you want to come forward because you're suffering and don't want to be alone, may the Spirit fall upon you. Let me pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we just thank you right now that we aren't alone. You know what suffering is. Refine me, Lord. Make me no stranger to it. Refine me so that I may be closer to you. Refine me, Lord. Even in all the pain, it brings me closer to you. You may be glorified. Touch the hearts of the people today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.